This is Max from the great country of Scotland, and whenever I'm adjusting my kilt, I'm listening to the Two Guys Talking podcast.
I am Dr. Tara Brooks. It wasn't easy becoming a veterinarian. It wasn't easy growing a clinic that caters to thousands of animals yearly. What is hard for me is knowing that there are clearly people out there that don't understand how to take care of animals in their charge. And we're talking about all kinds, folks, not just pets. Sure, you'll hear about dogs and cats, guinea pigs, birds and snakes. But what about horses, lizards, fish? This really is lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! It's time to get wise about animals inside this episode of Animal Wise America. My guest today is Dr. Kip Van Camp. Dr. Kip is double boarded in family medicine and radiology and has 25 years of experience in medicine. His father is a retired veterinarian, and after Allie, his pet Bichon Frise of 17 and a half years, died, Dr. Kip wrote her story. You can find that at Always Allie. However, he realized he was doing research for his book just how many scientific studies have been completed that confirm that pets improve our overall health. He always knew the human-animal bond was special and unique. However, he had no idea how many scientific studies confirm the depth of the human-animal bond. We are privileged to have with us today, via phone, Dr. Kip Van Camp. Welcome, Dr. Kip.
Yes, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Dr. Kip, I think what we were going to start with today is talking about your controversial topic that you tend to do a lot of, is whether or not animals have souls. So would you please answer for me how you answer that question, number one, and number two, what your thought is?
First, Tara, I would put on two different hats. The first hat is if I put on a medical hat, a compassionate empathy hat, I would say animals have a personality and they have what scientists would say is some unique characteristic that could be a soul, something that makes them, especially when you look at the domesticated animals, something that makes them set apart from, say, a toad or a lizard. But then I put on my religious hat or my theological beliefs hat, and then I would say, if you look at the Bible is pretty clear that only man has a soul, and that animals and pets are, we're supposed to have dominion over all animals, and that doesn't mean that Fido, our dog, or Fluffy, our cat, is exempt from that. They're also animals that are domesticated. So we're supposed to have dominion. Well, man has domesticated these animals and made them house pets. And we've done that for companionship because they make wonderful companions. And then I would say, if you take that argument, the whole argument would be that animals have a learned behavior. You know, Skinner, B.F. Skinner in psychology would say everything is learned behavior. And if Fido, you know, jumps up and down when you come home, it's because Fido gets some type of a reward. The reward might be excitement that you're happy to see Fido, or it might be that you give Fido a dog treat, or it might be that Fido needs to go outside and you're going to take Fido outside so they can relieve themselves.
Right.
So that's all learned behavior. And so we take that excitement and learned behavior as that's a developed personality and they must have a soul.
So people are equating a soul with a personality?
I think so. I think people do that automatically. And I think as humans, we want animals to have a soul. We want pets to have a soul. We want to know that if we had a special dog like Allie that I wrote about, Always Allie, we want Allie to be in heaven with us, or we want Allie to be somewhere in an afterlife. We want to make sure that we're going to see Allie again. Allie was so special that we don't want to just say when Allie dies, she's gone, and that's the end of Allie.
Right.
Just like when Grandpa dies, we don't want to say that's the end of Grandpa. We want to have comfort in some beliefs that we're going to see Grandpa again, or that Grandpa's in a better place.
Yeah,
and that's why there are atheists who say, well, when Grandpa dies, he goes back to the dust, and that's the end of Grandpa, and that's it, end of discussion.
Right.
This comes down to a religious belief, a faith system, that what happens after this world.
So as a medical doctor, do you find that people are able to accept your point on the religious belief as
no,
well as
people
the medical?
Hate, people are absolutely not in support of the religious belief. They are annoyed and upset with that. they instantly get irritated. And so then I've read your blog, and I think you handle it wonderfully. I loved your blog about pets with a soul. Well, I love that because what you've done is you've pointed out, I don't want to make you sound like you're wishy-washy, and what I say may sound that way, and that's not what I'm saying. I think you're being diplomatic, and I love your diplomacy. Some people would say, well, diplomacy just means you're wishy-washy and can't make a decision. But I love your diplomacy. What you say is man sins. Man knows the difference between right and wrong, and man sins. Now, people will say, well, pets know the difference between right and wrong. I would argue that's a learned behavior.
Correct.
When a pet is, when you find a puppy and you raise that puppy, if you never said, don't do that, Fido, don't do that, that's wrong, or if you never said, oh, you're such a good dog, let me reward you with a treat, Fido would never understand what's right and wrong. Fido would just go about this world surviving, trying to survive. And man inherently has something inside them that understands. We have a conscience, and our conscience says, ooh, I feel guilty because I just did something I'm ashamed of.
Right.
And that's a totally different thing. A pet doesn't have a conscience that says, I'm ashamed of what I did. Now, a pet will put its tail between its legs and cower and whimper and be upset and wet on the floor because they're scared, but they're scared because we've taught them that. It's not because they have that inside them.
Right, they're scared of man's reaction to them, not God's reaction.
Right, exactly. And what they're not worried about what's going to happen after this life, or am I going to heaven or not.
Right.
They don't think to that level. They don't have that capability of thinking to that level. That's where people get upset with me. They say, well, that's not right. I know that my dog, or I know that my cat, wants to be in heaven with me just as much as I want them to be in heaven with me. And I argue, no, they don't.
Right.
That's a learned behavior.
It's hard to prove that. Don't. So, I mean,
it's really hard because they can't sit and talk to us. You can't sit down and have a conversation with your pet.
Right.
It's a one-sided conversation.
Right.
They don't offer insights and enlightenment like man would.
Right. And we anthropomorphize them.
Now, why did you wet on the floor, Fido? I really want to understand what your thinking was. Why did you do that? Fido's not going to say, well, let me tell you, it's because I wanted to get even for the way you treated me last night. I didn't like it.
Right.
That's not how Fido thinks and works. Fido said, my bladder's full. You didn't come home. I had to relieve myself.
Right. Well, and I love your book, Always Allie. That it was a very special book to me as I read it. I related very easily to having to lose my special girl. And one of the things that I really like about that is how you personified her, but you didn't make her a little person.
And it's such a fine line, Tara. We wanted to make her a person, and many of our friends said, you're out of line. You have gone to an extreme. You're treating that dog like it's a person. And we did in some ways. We almost went to the extreme. But there was always an understanding, this isn't a person. If something happens to Allie, I used this story in there, which just was gut-wrenching. I remember this so well because the dog that this happened to was a Bichon. And it was about the time that Michael Douglas's movie on Road Rage came out. And this person out in California is driving down the road. They come to a traffic jam, like always happens in California and Los Angeles. It's a hot day. They have their windows rolled down, and their Bichon Frise has their head sticking out the window. You know, the window's open, and the dog has his paws on the door frame, and it's lapping up life and smiling and having a great time sitting there on its owner's lap going for a ride. And some freako loses it, and he has road rage, and he hops out of his car, and people are yelling at him that he loses it, basically. And he grabs the dog, and he flings it across the traffic into the other lane of traffic on the other side of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
Where there's oncoming traffic, and the dog dies.
Oh, I didn't know about this story.
Horrible, horrible story, and I never forgot it. I always remembered that, And what happened is this story got national publicity. That poor man might as well have taken a child and done the same thing.
Absolutely.
Because the outpouring was no different than had he killed a child.
Yeah.
And the reality is, as heinous as his crime was, and yes, he should have been punished, it's a dog. That's
right.
The reality. And it's not a person. Had he thrown a person across the traffic, a child, he should have gone to prison for the rest of his life. Well, America treated it like that's exactly what he had done. And I said, wow, do we have our priorities mixed up here? Do we have things upside down? Yes, it's a terrible crime. yes, he should be punished, and he was. He was punished greater than, I think, probably not greater than had he thrown a child across traffic, but it sure looked like it at the time.
Right. Well, and I think that's why people find your insight a little bit controversial, because, and that's why my blog was meant to be diplomatic, because as a medical profession, we kind of have that thought process that humans are higher, you know, that the intelligence level is there, and animals, like you said, it's just a dog.
Let's go all the way to Darwin. Darwin, who gets to be the father of evolution, Darwin didn't start with a little puppy dog, and we evolved from a puppy. I mean, Darwin didn't start with, he says, apes and man are very similar, but that's where he draws the line. He doesn't make us come from a lizard or a dog or a cat. And so he literally establishes a hierarchy for all of science to say, okay, man is the highest being other than a god, some type of a god. There is a distinction and a difference between man and pet.
Yes.
But now I would love to take the discussion. I don't know how much time we have today, but I would love to take the discussion towards, I don't think we should forget, I don't want to minimize how pets affect our lives. They are so important to us.
Oh, absolutely.
They're one of the most important relationships we'll ever have in our life.
Yeah, and for people, like, I always say this many, many times. My clients have heard me say, I don't have two-legged children. My children all have four legs or no legs. So I do treat them as my children in the sense that whatever medical concerns they have, food, shelter, warmth, love they need, I provide. But there is a difference between being able to provide full medical care and doing everything for the pet versus if it was a human child, meaning my dog had a bone marrow disease. There was no insurance to help me with that. Treatments were going to be $10,000. I can't refinance my house to save my little dog, whereas I would have sold everything that I own, moved in with someone down the street to give my child a life longer than my own.
Right. No, that's a very good example. And I think that when I go out and give talks about how pets affect our lives, one of the stories I relate is a meteorologist from Omaha, Nebraska, who had the option to do a life-saving procedure, medical procedure for his dog. And he came out, he's one of the people who, a public figure who came out locally and said, I want to do this, but look at the cost. Let's talk about the cost. And then it led to, should you have pet insurance? Should there be MediPet for senior pets? And it led to all these interesting discussions that just went way overboard. Pets are still pets, and each person gets to decide how important that pet is and how much they want to spend on their pet. Our dog Allie needed, we thought our dog Allie had cataracts. Come to find out she had macular degeneration. When we took her to Kansas State University to have her examined, we were actually disappointed and relieved at the same time. We were disappointed that they weren't cataracts because we could have done a $2,000 procedure and given her sight back.
Mm-hmm.
But we were relieved that we didn't have to give her a $2,000 procedure, because that was way over the top of how much we would have wanted to spend on Allie, and we would have had to make that decision.
Sure.
Fortunately, we didn't have to. But that's a lot of money for a pet. But it's, like you said, if it's a child, no question.
Yeah.
You'll move a mountain to figure out how to come up with money to pay for that child's care.
Yeah. And one of the things, I don't know if you're aware of the change that has been presented to legislation of trying to make animals have guardians versus owners.
Yeah, this is where we're going crazy. We're just going crazy. Can Fido come up with a DNR, a do not resuscitate order?
Oh my
can
gosh.
Fido have a living will?
Do you know how that would tie my hands?
Yeah, I don't want you to do everything heroic for me at the end of my life. Just let me go this time.
Right. Yeah, I was talking about this recently, where the guardianship issue actually would tie my hands as a veterinarian.
Not being able to euthanize an animal? Okay, let's say that the dog is a stray. Let's say some cruel human takes the pet home, raises him for a year or two, gets tired, gets in a financial crunch, has a divorce, they don't know what to do with the pet, and they drive out in the country and they dump Fido on the side of the road. And no right. one, now Fido looks scruffy, no one wants Fido. Should Fido suffer? Should we let Fido starve?
Well, the thing with that, though,
to do is put Fido to death, to put Fido to sleep. Right. Fido doesn't have to suffer.
The thing with that, though, Dr. Kip, is if this guardianship thing does take place,
you can't do that.
They wouldn't be able to drop the dog off. And I think that's kind of part of the situation with it. For me, and I have a perfect example of this.
How are you going to police that?
And that's the enforcement issue is an issue, but I actually have an example of this. There was a woman who hit a black cat in front of my clinic, and it was a car accident. She couldn't stop, and we brought the cat in. The cat was broken completely, but still alive. And in this situation, I used my best judgment, evaluated the wounds. I did take x-rays to determine that the back was actually fractured. So I opted to euthanize the cat. We did end up later finding its home through the microchip that the cat had. And I explained to the owner how the process was, but it was 3 weeks before we found this owner. So if this had been a guardian issue, I would not have been able to even give pain medication to this cat before getting a hold of the owner.
It's no different than a human. No different than a human.
Exactly.
Same guardianship as a human.
Exactly. So, oh my God, this poor cat we would have had to attempt to keep alive in this pain until we were able to get a hold of the owner 3 weeks later. Impossible.
We've gone overboard on that. That's where science and religion have to step up together and say, come on now. You have to first prove to us that Fido has a thinking soul for us to give guardianship. Otherwise, we're meddling in something we shouldn't be meddling in.
Exactly. I feel very really much the same
to
way.
The extreme that shouldn't happen. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is. I do like the story that my grandmother told that I did put in my blog. I do like that answer.
I love that. I think that's what I was saying is the diplomatic way.
Yeah.
I love that.
So,
and I think there's some logic to that, though. I agree with your grandmother. She's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you want to relate the story and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, so let me relate that to the listeners. And this is the story that I was told. It's about an elderly widow whose little dog died after 15 years of faithful friendship and companionship. And distraught, this elderly little lady went to her pastor and asked him, with tears streaming down her cheeks, "I've been told, Parson, that animals have no souls. My darling little dog Fluffy has recently died. Does that mean I won't see her again in heaven?" The pastor stated, "In his great love and wisdom, God has created heaven to be a place of perfect happiness. I'm sure that if your little dog Fluffy completes your happiness, you will find her there." So I love that thought process because for me, Dr. Kip, I know that you met my dog Hank. He is my big, yep. He's my big dumb oaf. He is the sweetest boy ever, but he was not the dog that melted my heart. The way that you had Allie, I had my little dog Loki. And I cannot imagine being without her. Still to this day, I talk to her little urn of ashes and tell her I miss her. So
does my wife Tracy with Allie.
Yeah.
So does my wife.
So they become a part of us.
And we have strict orders when Tracy dies that Allie goes in the casket with her. The urn goes with her.
Absolutely. It's in my will because, you know, I'm not married. I don't have all that going on. In my will, my dog will be buried with me. So I feel very spiritually connected to her.
Well, I love this story because that is true. I mean, if anyone has read the Bible or anyone has any Judeo-Christian beliefs, they understand that the heaven that's described in the Bible is where there's no sadness, there's only joy, there's only happiness, there's only love, there's only enjoyment. And if God created pets and God created companions for us, which God obviously filled our lives with these little creatures for a
yes.
reason, then God understands better than we do just how important they are. And why would God say, you're dead, Rover's dead, dead all over, end of discussion? No, God would, because there's so much enjoyment to us. God, I mean, I can't think of too many things in this world that bring more enjoyment to some people than a pet. And if heaven is perfect, then that is my heaven. That's my heaven. They have that perfect pet right there with me.
Yes, definitely.
Unconditional love. There's no other creature that shows us unconditional love than the love of a pet, a cat, a dog, a horse, nothing more important than that in this world.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, you are listening to Animal Wise America, and we will be right back after these messages.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, let me have a red hot with some mustard and two napkins. Oh, and let me have the Travel Planner podcast, too.
A what?
I don't know. It's part of that Two Guys Talking podcast network, something.
Huh?
I don't remember.
Why don't you take a walk before I brain you?
Oh, I want is a hot dog and a podcast.
Come on, take a hike. Come on, I got people to feed.
I want a red hot dog podcast. Jeez.
Cut me down to side eyes. Telling dirty lies to my friends.
Are you addicted to hot sauce, spicy foods, mouth water and barbecue, chili peppers, or buffalo wings? Well, do we have something for you. Join Scott Roberts, host of the Weekly Firecast, a foodie podcast on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network that features the best of fiery foods and barbecue. Whether you like cooking over fire or crave food that feels like fire in your mouth, there's bound to be something for you. So tune into the Weekly Firecast at twoguystalking.com and savor the burn.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
You can try to learn about voiceover all by yourself, or you can get you and your voice to school. Check out the Voice Farmers Voiceover Academy today and learn how you can make money with your voice. It's all available over at voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Don't miss your serving of straightforward life experience on the Life on the Half Shelley podcast, www.onthehalfshelley.com.
I love Mickey Rourke's initial costume when he rips off the roadway red outfit and he starts whopping the first whips that he's got. I thought that was just some of the best special effects I've ever seen.
That's funny because I'm actually the opposite.
Oh, you're on that scene? You're kidding.
Well, I do agree that the costume was excellent in the movie overall.
His what
costume
did it want?
There was stupid.
Why? What do you want?
Because it left him almost completely unprotected. Oh, he's got these magic whip things. Oh, don't hit me with the whip. I'll just shoot you from 50 yards away and you fall down dead.
No, he didn't. Totally he was actually able to deflect his shots. I mean, it's incredulous, but hey, there's a guy flying around in a suit of armor.
I can suspend disbelief to a certain extent, but that was just ridiculous.
I love that. I love the little figure that they've made, the little action figure that you can get. It all looks stellar, and it could be so stupid, just like Tony thinks it looks. But it doesn't. It looks perfect. The guy is throwing little tiny bolts of lightning via these whips and walking down the street, leaving a path of destruction in his
and
wake.
And I think it looked like a living action figure.
He
action
is
figures.
A living action figure.
It's action
ripped
figures.
From the pages of comics.
Thank you, Law and Order announcer.
It was another great summer film from 2010, Iron Man 2. Don't miss one of our most popular downloads to date, the Two Guys Talking Perspective Review of Iron Man 2, now available on DVD. Check it all out at twoguystalking.com.
Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Clothing and fight gear on a mission. Fight Ribbon is the original MMA clothing company built from the ground up for fighters and fans.
Clothing with a purpose.
The new face of cancer awareness. Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Because what you wear matters. Visit fightribbon.com.
Welcome back to Animal Wise America. And Dr.
Well, there's story after story after story of pets changing someone's life.
I was going to get into. You have a research that you kind of, and if you will talk to me about how the research was done, about heart patients that have pets actually have a lower blood pressure.
Oh, I love these research studies. There's about 25 years ago, man started really looking at the human-animal bond and trying to figure out what is it about this human-animal bond that's so unique and special? What touches our heart? What changes us? They found people live longer if they have a pet. They found that people with heart disease have a less likely chance of a massive heart attack that kills them if they have a pet.
That's amazing.
Or a companion at their side. They have, if they bring their pet with them to the doctor's office and all the people happen to be pet lovers and they say, oh, I love the dog, and they want to pet the dog, and they want to, the owner's so proud of the dog, their blood pressure goes down.
Right.
I mean, endorphins are released in our brain when we are around our pet. You have a terrible day, you can be upset with the world, and you can see that pet when you walk in the door, and it can just melt your cares away, and now life seems okay.
And
it relaxes us.
Specifically with cancer patients, isn't there research that
longer.
Shows that they survive because they have a will to live, because they have a pet to care for?
That was an example I was going to give. A little old lady, I don't know, mid-80s, she has a stroke. She's widowed. Her kids are grown up. Her grandkids are grown up. She lives in an assisted facility, but she has a dog. She has her stroke. She goes to the hospital, you know, of course, they take her to the hospital. She's in the neurointensive care unit, and she is not responding. The physical therapist, the occupational therapist, everybody's trying everything known to medical science. They're trying to get her to do anything. One half of her body's paralyzed. She's unable to talk. She has aphasia from the stroke. The family, the adult children say, we've got to get mom's pet in here. We've got to get permission to bring whatever the dog's name is. Now, let's just, again, I'll use Fido just because people understand that.
Sure.
So Fido, they bring Fido in, and they get permission from the hospital. They bring Fido in. Fido's a little lap dog. They set her on the bed, and the lady, for the first time, becomes aware. She opens her eyes. She faintly smiles with one half of her face. She tries to reach up and pet the dog with the paralyzed side, and there's some movement. She pets the dog with the non-paralyzed side. Over a period of time, Fido is allowed to stay, and the occupational therapist, the physical therapist, see unbelievable improvement because mm-hmm. now she has a will to live and a purpose.
Absolutely.
And the purpose is, who's going to take care of Fido if mom's gone? And Fido loves her unconditionally, and Fido loves being in the hospital. Fido thinks this is the greatest thing ever, sitting by his owner, his master, his love, and mom gets better. Mom would have probably wilted and died and starved herself to death and had no reason to live, but they got Fido at her bedside.
We see that a lot in the veterinary clinic as well. We see that when people who are elderly bring in their dogs and it's the last moments with them, they wonder what they are going to do without someone in their something in their house to take care of. So it's definitely something.
I love the James Herriot stories, the All Creatures Great and Small. And Harriet, that's in fact, he's probably my inspiration to why I write. And Harriet paints the pictures as well as anybody about the love between a pet and his owner. It's just nothing like it. And then you'll read, and then the whole pets don't have a soul argument. You'll meet people who can't stand pets. They absolutely can't stand it.
Right.
And you wonder, how is that even possible? But then you get to talking to them, and maybe a dog bit them when they were 3 years old.
Right. There's a whole other story behind all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have, that's all that learned behavior. And why does a dog bite someone? Well, dog is protecting whatever.
Absolutely.
And then you see that, you remember Michael Vick goes to prison because he raises dogs and they fight to the death. Those are all issues that, you know, a whole nother discussion about how animals are treated, cruelty to animals, and that's why the PETA folks go to extremes.
Absolutely, and Dr. Kip, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, a whole nother show, a whole nother direction to go.
We're going to have to wrap up here. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you so very much, and we didn't even get to the stem cell conversation, so that will definitely be another show as well. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Well, it's always good to be on your show, so thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Kip.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening and learning with me. I'm wondering what you thought of the information inside this episode of Animal Wise America. Have you liked us on Facebook? Help us spread our message and information by visiting my website at animalwiseamerica.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Animal Wise America.